D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We are awaiting Predators GM Barry Trotz, as well as Willie Donick. Willie Donick will join us momentarily. I believe we actually have Barry Trotz calling in right now. The Predators back in action tonight against the Minnesota Wild, the second half of a back-to-back. The Predators lost last night in overtime to the Vancouver Canucks, and the Predators will look to bounce back tonight against the Wild. And we are joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Predators general manager Barry Trotz. Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you. Now that we are 14 games into the regular season, I would like you to assess how you believe Andrew Burnett has done so far as head coach. Has he made the adjustments that you asked him to make in the offseason? And where specifically have you seen the biggest growth in him as a coach?
Well, I think the biggest growth is he's changed a lot in our systems in terms of, you know, we've turned over the personnel, number one. You had to get the players to believe again, which I think he has, especially the older group. He's added a lot of young players, which we've asked him to implement in our group. There's probably more rookies have touched the ice this year to this point than we probably had in the last 4 or 5 years combined. So, yes, he's checked a lot of boxes. Do we want to win more? Absolutely. But this is a really tough league, and as I said, we're in that group where we're trying to, you know, put a lot of young players in, and with our sort of older core.
I want to ask you about one of those younger players in particular, Matthew Wood. Matthew Wood has 5 points in 7 games since making his season debut. And the reason I ask you about Matthew Wood is I would love to know your philosophy when it comes to ice time. Because although Matthew Wood has been productive since getting back into the lineup, he is 10th on the team, among the forwards at least, in average ice time per game over the past 7 games. So how do you see that when it comes to giving ice time? Is it merit-based? Is it because he's a younger player, you're not going to play him as many minutes? How does that work for you?
Well, I think for me, you want it to be merit-based, but it's also a little bit of earned, and there's got to be some trust there. I mean, Matthew is a good offensive player. I mean, the one thing I like about Matthew, he still has a lot of drift in his game. As we say, he's a bigger player, so there's times when he, I will say, probably should stop on a puck. We'll maybe do a little bit of a flyby to keep the, you know, those are some of the junior habits. But those are things that you can live with because they're teachable. I think the way the games play out, if there's, I look back at 2 games back and there's, you know, we're taking 6 or 7 penalties and there's, you know, he's not on a penalty killing unit and you're on the second power play, then you get your minutes limited. So, I try to look at it as, you know, you can't say, hey, this player deserves X amount of minutes this night. Every night, because that's not the way the game is played in different circumstances. But you also want the everything to be as merit-based as possible, and there's a trust factor. A guy like just Michael McCarron late in the game, you have a lot of trust that he's going to be able to do a job for you. He's going to get a lot of those defensive face-offs. He's going to get a lot of that. Maybe the trust is not there with Matthew Wood yet, but the more he plays, the more he's on the team, then hopefully the more he can earn the coach's trust, like any young player with myself or any coach. So, everything is I would say, dependent on the situation and dependent on the team. I mean, if you're chasing games, you're probably going to put a guy on that, you know, has played a lot more games, scored a lot more goals in the league than maybe a younger player. So, everything is a feel, and everything is hopefully on a merit and earned basis. But Matthew has done very, very well in his time on ice. So that's a good thing.
Barry Trotz is with us. Barry, I know that we've been asking you about Steven Stamkos over the past couple of weeks. He's gone 9 consecutive games without a point, which is the second longest drought of his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career. He has 1 point at 5-on-5 in 14 games. Do you have the talent on the roster, specifically at center, to help Stamkos snap out of this funk, or is this what we should expect from him moving forward?
Well, I think, I don't think I have the center ice position is a strength for us. I think that's common knowledge. You're not telling me anything I don't know. But I do think Steven Stamkos has enough talent to produce more than he is. The one thing that I would say that any player in Steven's situation, has to evolve, has to find ways to contribute in other ways when he can. And offensively he's used to scoring a few more from that, that flank spot. He may have to get into the interior. I can give you, a story that I went through when I went to Washington and Alex Ovechkin, I think had 7 games without a point or a goal, longest in his career. And we just played a back-to-back as we're playing right now. And after the game, Ovi came to me and said, "Hey, I want to go on the ice tomorrow." And I said, "It's a day off. I can't have you go on the ice. I can't make you go on the ice or anything." He goes, "No, I want to go. I want to shoot pucks. I'm going to bring some people with me. Can you get the trainers to open up the rink for me?" And I said, "No, I'm not going to do that. But I live close to the rink. I will open up the rink for you." And he spent a few hours on the ice shooting pucks. He brought a goalie friend and some of the pass from the puck. And I mean, he must have shot 200 pucks. And lo and behold, he scored 7 goals in 2 games. So Steven, Steven, just like Ovi, have to find ways to, contribute. And he's never gone through this. I know people are cracking on him, media included. All over, and he probably hasn't had that for a while, so people deal with that differently. So do you sort of fold and get frustrated by it, or do you dig in and say, I'm going to prove everybody wrong? So hopefully Steven has the "I'm going to prove everybody wrong" attitude, and he gets rolling for us. Because can you imagine if he gets rolling and gives us a little offense? And, we'd have a few more wins. The power play's starting to come around, and the young guys are starting to come around. So, we need everybody to contribute if we're going to be successful.
We'll talk with Barry Trotz, Nashville Predators GM. Now, Barry, your team has played in their share of close games, just like just about every team in hockey. But the good teams find a way to win those close games. What are you seeing in your team? That because it can't just be as easy as score more goals. If it was that way, if it was that easy, then you would make it happen a lot faster. But what are you seeing from some other teams that maybe you're not seeing from your team, or that you are seeing from your team and that you want to improve as well?
Well, I think we're in that little transition. I mean, there's teams that have the absolute superstars that carry them and find ways to win and carry the load, and that we probably are in a situation where we don't have that. So we've got to do it collectively. I don't know exactly what you're asking, but I'm going to say a good example is moments like last night. We're down 2 goals with 12 minutes to go. We got a point out of a game that we probably shouldn't have got a point. Now, could we have 2 points if we're able to go to the shootout, a late mistake by one of our defensemen, and maybe go to a shootout and we get the second point. But we found a way in a situation that we were getting no points to get a point. Mm-hmm. In this league, you've got to collect points. So anytime you have that, then I would say that you're making steps forward.
And you did answer the question, because ultimately that's what it's about, trying to find a way to win some of those close games. And some teams are able to do it, and some teams are just haven't been able to do it as much. Now, where do you miss, because Roman's been out for a while, where do you miss Roman at the most? And is he closer to coming back?
Roman is probably a couple weeks away. Mm-hmm. As stated, he's week to week, but he's probably a couple weeks away. We miss Roman everywhere. I mean, you can't really replace Roman. You just have to, you know, fill in the space with other players, see if they can contribute just a little bit more. But you can't replace a Roman. You'll see, he's one of the top defensemen when he's healthy, in the league. I mean, he was, you know, a couple of years ago, he's 100-point defenseman. There's not that many of those. Unfortunately, Roman, I think, has only played 50 games for us in the last 2 years. And you know, we go as far as Roman Josi goes. Roman is the him and Forsberg and Saros are still our cornerstones to this franchise. They're getting older. But at the same time, you know, and we try to supplement with, you know, some veteran guys, and we're trying to fill in with all our young guys that we've drafted. And, you know, we need our young guys to continue to grow, and hopefully the combination of the three with a little bit of good luck and some good health, we can get a little more consistent and take a run at the number one in the playoffs. And that's, we're in the mix right now. So that's what you want to be there. I'd like to be higher up the standings, but we're not, and that's what we're going to try to get to.
Talking with Barry Trotz, Predators general manager. And Barry, this is the ninth game in 15 days for the Predators. That's about as big of a workload as I can remember a Predator team or any team having. How do you think the guys are managing the fatigue level and just this workload right now?
It's been tough on this group, because we're in a close game every night. We've been trailing some that we've had to fight back in. Last night was a good example of that. I think the guys are managing pretty well, but what you're seeing is they're getting banged up. You're getting guys injured, and you're getting guys mentally fatigued. I mean, you can only crank it up. You know yourself, it doesn't matter what, if you're in professional sports or if you're, you know, working non-professional sports and doing other things, and you're asked to crank it up for a real high level for a week. These players have had to do it for a couple of weeks without any rest, being, you know, going home. And, you know, we got in here last night at 2:30 in the morning after a tough game. And we're going to play a rested opponent who's a good hockey team and trying to get back in the race. So, you know, it's a daunting task. And then, you know, we're going to get home. We play Thursday, Saturday, Monday, fly to Sweden, play two games in Sweden, fly back. So this is a big part of the schedule that has taken a good piece of this hockey team. So they got to stick together.
It looks like Philip Forsberg is starting to get the swagger a little bit. That's always a good sign. He looks, you can tell when he's got the puck, he's hungry. And it looks like Luke Evangelista might be building a little bit of chemistry with him. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, there's certain players that can drive a line. A combination of players can be a very effective line. And that's what I think you're finding is Luke is, you know, he's by himself. He can't drive a line. I don't think, Ryan or, you know, Philip, they can. But when they're together and they get a little chemistry, you know, they're a really good line. That's what you're looking for, hopefully, in the Stamkos, Marchessault, and Holler line, three veteran guys. But, you know, Holler can give them a little bit of speed and savvy in the middle. I mean, he's been a productive player in the middle. Marchessault is the guy around the net that also can make some plays. So, and Stammer's the shooter. So hopefully that line can get going. Michael Bunting's been hot lately. I think Svechkov, after being sat out a healthy scratch, a couple games back. I think he's working really well. He's just not getting any production right now. So, and then he's with Matthew Wood. So there's, you know, a couple of young guys playing together, and their that line is finding ways to produce. And then obviously Mike McCarron is him and Smitty have been Batman and Robin on that fourth line and give us some physicality. We've gotten a little bit small on the at forward without some of our players. So Smitty's got Yost or LaRue in the lineup with Weisblatt, and Ozzy is a smaller player but plays a bigger game, and hopefully we can get contributions through all of our forwards. And then on defense, I think obviously Spencer Stastny's probably showing a little bit more offense than we expected, and playing really well. Him and Justin Barron are I think having a good stretch here. Brady Shea and Nick Perbix have been pretty solid all year for us for the most part. And then Nick Blankenberg's come in and been doing what he's always done in the past. Nick Perbix, who came in, is trying to catch the train a little bit. We need his game to probably elevate a little bit here. It's tough when you start missing all the training camp or a good piece of training camp and the start of the season. So he's trying to catch up a little bit.
Predators GM Barry Trotz has been our guest on DMA's Fingan and Donick. He joins us every Tuesday during hockey season. Barry, thank you so much for your time. As always, good luck tonight.
All right, thank you.
615-737-1025. Predators back in action tonight at 7 o'clock against the Minnesota Wild. Pregame starts at 6 with Chase McCabe right here on 102.5 The Game. We will get back into the NFL trade deadline coming up next. An interesting report was floating around social media today involving the Titans and perhaps a jilted lover. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. DMace, Vingan, and Donick is presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think. With Bax Homeworks, get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. DMace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick is off to prepare to call the game. Willie Donick feeling a bit under the weather, as you can hear.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help when you're sick and you need your voice and you're a play-by-play broadcaster who also does radio work 5 days a week. So Willie's a trooper. Kudos to Willie. He's powering through. You can hear him on the call on FanDuel Sports Network starting at 7 o'clock. You can also hear the radio call of that game also starting at 7 o'clock right here on 102.5 The Game. Terry on our text line asked if Willie and Mace, meaning C-Mace, not D-Mace, asking if Willie and C-Mace are going to Sweden. Yes, Willie and Chris, I believe, will be going to Sweden with the Predators. They travel early next week. They play the Penguins late next week in two games in Stockholm, Sweden. I tried to convince Willie to do the show from Sweden, but Stockholm's like 7 or 8 hours ahead of us, so he would be going live on the air at 10 p.m.
Yeah,
he can make it.
Getting ready to go to sleep by then. Are they?
I think he should try to do it at least once.
Is it a national game? Or is Willie and them still would be doing
it? It will be on FanDuel Sports Network. All right. So you can still watch those games in Sweden on FanDuel Sports Network with Willie Donick and Chris Mason. But yes, Willie will be traveling to Sweden. So it'll be Derek and I.
Yes.
For most of next week, which is okay.
Yeah,
we're having some fun today. Yeah. Derek's getting mad at people.
Yeah, I'm getting another.
That's the best kind of Derek Mason. When Derek gets mad.
I don't get mad.
You get fired up.
I get irritated a little.
It
doesn't last long.
It's close enough to mad. As I said, one of my goals every show is to push your buttons or Willie's buttons. And it's easier to push your buttons than it is to push Willie's buttons. But there are certain topics that get the two of you going, as we were discussing Jeffrey Simmons earlier in the program. And we will continue to talk about Jeffrey Simmons because the Titans did not trade Jeffrey Simmons. That is not a surprise. The Titans telegraphed that they were not trading Jeffrey Simmons by telling multiple insiders that they were not trading Jeffrey Simmons. And yet, the New York Jets traded Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys today for a second-round pick, a first-round pick, and a young defensive tackle. Less so about the young defensive tackle, Mozzie Smith, more so about the second-round pick and the first-round pick. And Willie and I were clearly on board with this idea that if the Cowboys had made the same offer to the Titans for Jeffrey Simmons, we would have taken it in a heartbeat. Derek Mason said, hell no, I want two first-round picks or don't even bother calling.
Yeah.
But I do want to touch on an interesting report that I saw on social media today about the Titans and the New England Patriots. The Titans didn't make a trade with the New England Patriots today. Last week when we played matchmaker, I thought the Titans could make a trade with the New England Patriots. I had Arden Key going to the New England Patriots. Arden Key still in Tennessee. By the way, now that Draymond Jones is gone off to Baltimore and Femi Oladejo was injured, and the Titans' options at edge defender are Arden Key. Well, he's injured too. Jihad Ward, Jalen Harrell, and Ollie Gay.
Well, Young Bucks got to step up.
I'm not sure how many more sacks the Tennessee Titans are going to have this season with that group. But let's get back to what I was meaning to talk about. Mike Giardi of Boston Sports Journal. Mike Giardi is a veteran reporter based in New England who has covered the Patriots for a long time. And he had, I want to say it was like a running blog, like a live blog of the Patriots trade deadline. And there was this little blurb just shoved in there. Quote, meaning Giardi, was also told there has been some conversation league-wide that Tennessee might be unwilling to make deals with New England because the owner, Amy Adams Strunk, continues to think too much about how things ended with Mike Vrabel and is not inclined to help his new team.
Well, she probably is not the first. If indeed that's the case, she probably wouldn't be the first owner that have, you know, chosen to do business that way. You know, unless there's credible sources that come out about something like that, then it's a rumor. It's a story. I want to believe that, listen, if it could help her team, then that's what she's going to do. You know, that's what I want to believe. But then again, you know, it could be the opposite. But I'm not going to make too much of that. You know, that's just one of those things where, you know, it's out there in a fan base that's already bloodthirsty. It just adds to it. Like, she didn't, oh my goodness. So now she doesn't want to make a trade with New England because of Vrabel? Oh, man, she shouldn't be the owner. That's what I mean. It's just more. It's more raw meat for the base, you know, more rare meat for the base. So, you know, it's one of those things that are going to happen. I hope that's not the case. I hope that if New England came to the table with a sensible offer for a player, that they thought about it, at least thought about it and not just, oh, it's New England, don't even pick up the phone. I hope that's not the case.
So let's do one of our favorite things after the NFL trade deadline, winners and losers, quickly. I'll tell you who was a big, fat loser. Not personally, but just because of the situation. Denard Wilson. Denard Wilson is a big, fat loser, and that's going to be taken out of context. But what I mean by that is he's lost Jarvis Brownlee. He's lost Roger McCreary. He's lost Draymond Jones. Jeffrey Simmons is injured. Arden Key is injured.
Sneed's gone for the season.
Sneed is MIA. Yeah. Femi Oladejo is hurt. I just read to you the remaining healthy edge rushers. And Jihad Ward did have a good game against the Chargers. But it's a losing proposition for Denard Wilson. He has a uphill battle anyway, an uphill climb, to keep his job past the season. And now he's going to have to make chicken salad out of chicken you know what. And that's part of what happens when you're on a bad team. You're coaching a bad team. But, man, I am curious about how the defense is going to look. Sort of like when you're driving past a car wreck. You don't want to look, but you can't help but look. And when you look at the remaining players on defense. Now, you hope that Jeffrey Simmons is healthy. He comes back eventually. But no Brownlee, no Jones, no McCreary, no Sneed, no Oladejo, Right now, no Simmons. I mean, Denard Wilson can't win. I mean, you can ask one of the best defensive coaches in the league to try to win with that group, and you're not going to do very well.
It's not like the old what was the group? Destiny's Child. No, 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 no. It's like no across the board for those guys not playing. No, he's not playing. No, he's not playing. No. So it's just, I mean, you're right. Denard Wilson, he got the short end of the stick. But also, this is an opportunity. He can see this as an opportunity, like he did last week. It's not about players anymore now. Because they're playing with, you know, guys that are backup guys, majority of these guys, or guys they didn't plan to have this big of a role. So now he's playing, you know, with backup guys. And sometimes, hey, listen, it works out. You know, sometimes you don't realize what type of player you have unless an injury happens and that player is forced to play. It happened in my situation. I was forced to play. And the rest was history. So this is an opportunity for Denard Wilson to show his worth. He was able to do it last week at times because he doesn't have the players to just straight up play. Let's just play man on man, 11 on 11. See who bet. He doesn't have the guys for that. Now it's all about how is he, his imagination, his scheme. How is he going to, you know, scheme up sacks? How is he going to put his guys in the best possible position he can put them in to succeed, knowing that these guys aren't guys that you thought were going to be your starters this year? These were guys, some of these guys you thought it was going to be good for them to be backups or special teams guys so they can develop into a role, but that role has been expedited for them. So this is an opportunity for him, like he did last week, to show, hey, I know what I'm doing. I just don't have the guys to consistently do it.
One texter says, hey, Adam, ain't no rubbernecking on the interstate. Keep it moving. Yes, that's how I feel about the national media. Yes. When they see the Titans, just keep it moving, and we know how bad we are. Don't need to say anything.
I'm with that texter. When I see people rubbernecking, I'm like, if you're not going to stop and help, just keep driving. You can drive at a pace but not constantly loop back.
Well, if I am driving at full speed on the highway, I am not slowing down. But if
some people do.
But if you're stuck in traffic and you're moving slowly – and you see there's an accident, you take a peek while you're driving by slowly. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it at high speed.
No, but then some people look again. And then as they get past it, they look back. I'm like, why are you looking back? It's good while it's in front of you to look at it or on the side. But then after that, you're done. Even on the side, it's kind of not advised because the minute you look to the right or the left, you're taking your eyes off of what's in front of you. And when it's an accident, what? People are stopping. So you shouldn't do that.
What do you make of the Colts trading for Sauce Gardner?
Oh, man.
I also feel terrible now for Cam Ward because there are some good corners in the AFC South. You have Derek Stingley Jr. in Houston. Mm-hmm. Now you have Sauce Gardner in Indianapolis. And I know that Gardner, maybe he hasn't played as well in the past couple of years as he did when he first entered the NFL. He was a first-team All-Pro in each of his first two seasons. Mm-hmm. So high standards for Sauce Gardner. But what do you make of the fit, and what do you make of what the Colts gave up? Two first-round picks and A.D. Mitchell. Now, the Colts can give up a young receiver in A.D. Mitchell because they have drafted well, and they have Michael Pittman, and they have Alec Pierce, and they have Josh Downs. So A.D. Mitchell, kind of a luxury.
Expendable.
Right. So what do you make of the move, how much it cost, and the fit for the Colts?
The Colts are playing the L.A. Rams right now. You know what? Forget those picks.
F them picks.
Absolutely. We are primed for a run right now. Yeah, I know what happened in Pittsburgh, you know, Monday night. I get that. But we are primed and ready to make a run right now. So you know what? This ain't about tomorrow. This is about now. Forget those picks. Give me Sauce Gardner. I give up the picks that I need to give up because I believe we are one guy away on defense to really, you know, being the front runner in the AFC as far as making it to the Super Bowl. Because that's what this trade was about, making it to the Super Bowl, making sure that they can go toe-to-toe with Kansas City, Buffalo. I'm talking about coverage-wise. Buffalo, Baltimore, teams like that, the Chargers.
Yep.
Teams that love to throw the football. You got to have guys either that's going to get to the quarterback very quickly or that can cover on the outside. Sauce Gardner has proven he's one of those guys, even though he's not what he was his first 2 years, but they believe he can be there still. It's just about, yeah, he's a good player, an elite player, but how does he fit in this system? That's what they will find out. Now, as far as I think it was a great move by the Indianapolis Colts, because they are a team that's not like, oh, if we don't win this year, then we got to clear the deck. Again, I'm going to give you some names. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, Tyler Warren, Quentin Nelson. Just basically that whole offensive line. What all those guys have in common?
They were drafted.
They all were drafted. And they're all signing their next. They've either signed another deal or they're working on signing another deal. So they believe they can give away a pick or two. Because these young guys, they're developing into the cornerstones and teams that they believe can win a Super Bowl. So it's like the Rams. Here, take my picks. I want your player because I'm closer to winning the Super Bowl than I'm further away.
615-737-1025. We'll take all of your thoughts on the NFL trade deadline. The Titans made one trade yesterday, sending Draymond Jones to the Baltimore Ravens. Of course, earlier in the season, they traded Jarvis Brownlee and they traded Roger McCreary, but Draymond Jones out the door yesterday. No other moves made. So all of the trades you hoped the Titans would make, they didn't make them. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Predators pregame coming up next with Chase McCabe. Predators at Wild tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll see if the Predators can bounce back from their buzzer beater loss in overtime last night to the Vancouver Canucks. Derek, I want to make a declaration.
Yes.
Tom Brady is the least relatable person on planet Earth. He just is. He just is. There's just something about Tom Brady. You said it during the break. You said it well. People can relate to Peyton Manning.
Eli Manning.
Even Tony Romo, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the Mannings, they're funny. They've got that aw shucks personality. You feel like you can sit down with them on the couch during the Manning cast and have a great time. Tom Brady does not seem like fun at all.
Yeah.
No fun, sir. And today I saw a story where he claimed that his dog is a clone. And I just said, this is the most Tom Brady thing I think I've ever read, even more so than the TB12 method crap and all that other stuff. It's just let me just read to you this story from ESPN.com. Tom Brady says his dog is a clone. The six-time Super Bowl winning quarterback and current Fox Sports broadcaster said Tuesday in a statement from a company he is an investor in that his dog, Junie, is a clone of his late dog, Lua. Colossal is the name of the company, which aims to, quote-unquote, fix extinction, which sounds like the plot from the next Jurassic World movie, among other goals, is said to be valued at $10 billion, and that this is its first major acquisition.
This is all about money, man. That's all it's about. Because who – I mean, again, it's one of these deals where I understand why he did it. I understand why he made it public, because he's an investor in it. And, he hopes, because he said, and he's Tom Brady, that there will be others that will follow suit. I think that's a little creepy to me. I'm not looking. My two dogs passed away within the last year, and I'm not looking to, clone Lexi or Ginger. That's too creepy for me. But I don't understand why people invite stuff like this. Like, did nobody ask you whether you cloned your dog, and now you just told, I know why you put it out there, but it's just like one of those things again. Who relates to that?
Nobody.
Nobody. Except you got $1 billion.
Nobody can relate to
that. That's who relate to cloning dogs. You got a lot of money, so you want to clone your dog. Nobody else relates to that.
I can't imagine what it would be like to try to make small talk with Tom Brady. Hey, Tom, how are you? Oh, I'm good. I just cloned my dog. I can't do anything with that.
Well, you know, I would then ask follow-up questions.
Like, are you crazy?
Yeah, that too. What made you do that? Do you think that, you know, is it cloning humans next? I would ask him a bunch of questions. But it wouldn't be fun. It would just be, okay, Tom, you did it. Why you do it? I'm asking a question. But besides that, I'm like, okay.
This sounds like the plot of a movie. Again, I mentioned Jurassic World. Billionaire invests in a company that tries to, quote unquote, fix extinction. And somebody finds some dino DNA and gives it to Tom Brady. And the next thing you know, dinosaurs are roaming the earth once again. And we're all done for. Just because Tom Brady needs to clone his damn dog. I don't know. I just had to get that off my chest. I just thought to myself, there is no one more unrelatable on planet Earth than Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, yeah, because I didn't read the story today and say, oh, I'm going to clone my dog too.
Yes.
Let me call his place. And I know you didn't. I'm sure David didn't.
No,
I'm sure Willie didn't. There are a bunch of people like us that didn't wake up and read that story and said, I'm going to inquire about this company and see if I can clone my dog. No, nobody thought about that.
Pass.
Yeah. Again, that's creepy to me. That's a little bit too much for me, man.
Skyler on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, the Sauce Gardner trade was the crazy one. I like Gardner, but not for two firsts. And A.D. Mitchell, who was a second-round pick last year. Merle from Mount Juliet says, Sauce is still a young cat. Why has he took a step back lately?
You know, and that's what I was wondering about Sauce Gardner. It was like, man, he came off like game, but it was just like, man, he just hit and he was just everywhere. And this kid was playing his tail off. He had so much swag and he was just had that arrogance about him that you need to have to play that position. And then all of a sudden it just flipped.
So here's
the switch cut off and you didn't hear about him no more other than getting hurt or getting burned.
So he was the defensive rookie of the year in 2022. He led the NFL that season with 20 passes defended. He is the only cornerback since the NFL-AFL merger in 1970 to be named first-team All-Pro in each of his first two seasons. Last season, he had a career-low 7 pass breakups and a career-high 4 defensive pass interference penalties.
How many games did he play last year? He was hurt last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Sauce Gardner played.
Or did he play the whole season?
15 games last season.
Okay, he missed 2 games. I don't know what happened. Maybe because he may be dealing with what everybody else on the Jets are dealing with. The constant, you know, just dumpster fire around and dismissing, you know, firing coaches, hiring new ones, and defensive schemes changing. So maybe he was just a product of what was happening with the Jets. And if that is indeed the case, then I feel bad for everybody that ends up playing in Indianapolis Colts. Because if the environment was the reason why his play didn't flourish like it did the first 2 years, and he's in a much better environment now, man, oh man, if they are not the favorites to make it to the playoff, I mean to make it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, they got to be a top 2 or 3.
The Titans don't have to see the Colts again this season, so we won't see Sauce Gardner against the Titans.
But he's a Detroit product, so I'm gonna stay down with him. But he hadn't played well. He hadn't been playing well outside of his first two seasons. So,
some fancy stats for you. Mm-hmm. This season, according to ESPN, this season has been his worst as a pro so far. He's surrendering a completion percentage 11.1% over expectation and a passer rating of 118.8 when targeted.
It's getting toasted. That's what's happening. I'm sure Indianapolis believes it's more about the environment than it is about the actual player. So if that is indeed the case, then we are going to see a different Sauce Gardner. We're going to see the Sauce Gardner that we saw the first 2 years rather than what he has looked like with the Jets. Because, listen, things haven't – same thing with Aaron Rodgers. He looked bad with the Jets. Look at him now. The Pittsburgh Steelers are what, 6-3?
That sounds right.
Yeah, they're 6-3 now.
Or 5-3.
5-3 season. Just beat Indianapolis. So maybe it wasn't the player. Maybe it was the organization.
Yeah, the Jets have a way of making you stink out loud. Let's quickly go to Steve on our phone line. Steve, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
I got a question about the Predators. When they go 3-on-3, why don't we have wingers and centers out there? Because they usually have better stick skills and they're much faster and more agile. And I just want to, I'll hang up and listen what your comments are. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Good question. I'm not sure how the Predators' deployment on 3-on-3 compares to other teams. Teams like to have defensemen on the ice because if there's a break the other way, would you rather have Roman Josi defending a 2-on-1 rush or Luke Evangelista defending a 2-on-1 rush?
Josi.
Probably Roman Josi. I know he's hurt. Barry Trotz said earlier that he's still a few weeks away at least. But the Predators lost last night on a turnover right in front of the net. Brock Besser scores at the buzzer to give the Predator, excuse me, to give the Vancouver Canucks a 5-4 overtime win at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators are back in action in just about an hour or so. They're up in Minnesota to take on former Predators coach John Hines in the Minnesota Wild. The Wild 4-6-3 on the season. It's been a rough start for the Wild this season. So that's a good question, Steve. I'd have to look more deeply into it to see how the Predators' deployment compares to other teams, but I don't think it's uncommon for teams to have defensemen on the ice. You saw last night Quinn Hughes. I don't know if Quinn Hughes left the ice for the Vancouver Canucks during the 3-on-3 because he's so dynamic. When the Predators are – when Roman Josi is healthy, he's out there quite a bit for the Predators as well. But we'll see how the Predators do tonight. Mm-hmm. They won't have Derek Mason cranking the air horn,
man,
but he will be doing so in spirit.
Exactly.
As the Predators take on the Wild on the road. Chase McCabe has pregame for you coming up in just a few minutes. And then, of course, Max Herz and Hal Gill will have the call live from St. Paul, Minnesota. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We have Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow at 5. Silly Underdog Picks return to 5:20. We'll react to Mike Borgonzi's post-trade deadline news conference. We'll talk CFP rankings, a lot more to discuss. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Tuesday. Again, I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about us, because we will be back tomorrow at 3 on 102.5 The Game. Peace.